Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. The band is back together. Well, I guess I'm back.
We've been here, J.P.
You guys have been here. Yeah.
We were about to go out and find another lead singer.
Like Van Halen, right?
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
It's going to be back.
We would have had to change the name of the band now, right? Well, unless you're Van Halen.
No, it's good. Glad to have you back. Where were you at?
Basketball, man. NCAA tournament.
What were you doing? Watching basketball?
Moderating press conferences, making Georgia State coach cry.
I saw somebody tweeted out a picture of you at a press conference. I said, what is JP doing?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Can you tell me what a moderator of a press conference actually does?
Coach, if you could give us an opening thought about the game tonight, and we'll get to some questions for you and your guys.
That's it.
That's pretty good. And point, hey, you in the front row, go ahead. Get the microphone to the back, please.
Now,
here in town?
Here in town.
Okay. You don't have to answer this question, but do you get paid for that?
Yeah, I believe, yeah.
You believe. You're hoping.
Yeah, I got to watch some hoops.
You're hoping to check
hang out.
Through.
Yeah.
No, it's good stuff, man. Hey, by the way, I heard via you on Twitter that a longtime Alabama broadcaster passed away.
John Ed. He's been a longtime personality in Birmingham for a long time. Long time. But sports commentator the last 10, 15 years or so. He had retired he was a longtime comedy guy in Birmingham and then went to sports with Doug Layton. But John Ed Willoughby passed away this week.
Yeah, and I saw that.
How old was he?
Oh, gosh. You know, 80-something.
Oh, so
late 70s. Yeah. He had been around a fixture in Birmingham radio for a long time and had been off the air for the last 3 or 4 years. But, So that's those old guys are getting old, man.
Yeah,
it works.
Well, we're all getting old.
Yeah, I was going to say, it works. For all of us.
It's kind of part of the deal.
Speak for yourselves, guys.
Well, you part look older than us.
Yeah, well, I do.
Did you go to the league meetings this week?
I did not. No, I was here.
So you were not on assignment.
No, I was not. I was here. We had live shows on Jaguars.com this week. John Osher was out there. Patrick Kavanaugh was out there. We had live looks-ins with a lot of national writers and stuff. So plenty to talk about coming out of the NFL annual meeting in Phoenix.
Yeah, followed it all week.
You know, I guess the biggest takeaway from that in terms of the Jaguars, well, there's a couple things, really. The London telecast of the London game will be over the air in Western New York and in Jacksonville, but everywhere else it'll be available on digital platforms only.
Which they're trying to determine exactly what digital platform that's going to be. Is it going to be YouTube? Is it going to be Facebook? And I'm sure that it's going to be, you know, open bidding. You know, so whoever's going to generate the most money or pay the most money for that digital broadcast will end up getting it.
And it's
so it won't be on CBS anywhere but Jacksonville. But
that's correct. That's right.
So it's a regional broadcast with digital worldwide,
which
is cool because that's the first time ever.
Ever.
And you know, so that's a big
future
deal.
It's really the future of the broadcast.
It's well,
of the league, right?
I don't know if it's the future of it.
We'll see how
it's part of it. It's not all the future, but it's part of it. But the best part about that is that you have a small market team that is getting involved in that with another small market team, and both of them are participating in a global broadcast. Yeah. That's a big deal now. That's great exposure. You can't expect any more than that.
It'll be the future when they can make more than about $4 or $5 billion that the networks pay them by doing digital.
True.
My guess is that networks will always be there, and they're opening up another avenue to create another revenue stream.
Well, and I know that there's probably, you know, and it's only available in the market. So, you know, the DirecTV, which the NFL ticket has been, you know, in existence for quite some time, that is not available on DirecTV.
It'd be the one game all year that's not available on Sunday TV.
And, you know, that's a little bit of,
we'll see how that works.
You know, I'm sure DirecTV is going to say, hey, whoa, wait a minute, we're paying all this money. But, you know, if it were New York, Chicago, San Francisco, you know, the bigger markets, I'm sure that they would be highly upset. But being that it's Jacksonville and Buffalo, I'm sure that that takes a little of the sting off of it for them. But at the same time, if you're paying for the rights to have something and you're losing part of that, I'm sure DirecTV would like a little modification.
Well, I'm sure it was negotiated. They didn't just do this in a silo. They talked to AT&T, which now owns DirecTV, before they probably made the call.
Sure.
There's probably a little more money than just a couple nickels on the table at stake. So I'm sure it's
follow,
all it's
follow
a,
the money.
It's all the contracts, all about the money. And it's a great opportunity. It's there will be more and more digital platforms being used for every area of the NFL, not just games, but shows. We're already seeing that more and more at the team level. JP, you're part of a lot of them. Jeff does his film stuff. It's all digital platform. You're going to see more and more of that.
NFL Now was released last year. That was a big step for the league. They had national sponsors, at least on the national level, for that. And then each team has to contribute a certain amount of videos to the content as well. So that's the start of it. We'll see how the response is for that game telecast coming up in October.
And I'm glad, you know, with that game that, you know, the whole transition from Doug Marrone to Rex Ryan, and not to say anything bad about Doug Marrone, but, you know, Rex Ryan adds a little bit of flavor to it.
Yeah, you think?
You know, and then with the acquisitions that they have made in Buffalo.
Are you saying Doug's boring?
No, I'm just saying that.
I think you just said to that.
That's what I heard. That's
to,
what
the,
sure.
I guess you could say casual football fan.
Yeah.
I think it makes it more of an appealing matchup when Rex Ryan is involved, as opposed to anybody else. And I mean, that's just, hey, look, the diehard football fans are going to be intrigued whether it's Doug Marrone or Rex Ryan.
So
it doesn't
you think
matter.
People watch the game because Rex Ryan is the coach?
It's no different. It's no different than record ratings for a Super Bowl based on some of the incidents that happened leading up to that, which was Deflategate. You know, because I go back to that week after the whole deflating the football thing with the Indianapolis Colts, and how many casual fans came up to you and wanted to have a conversation about the PSI of a football?
No, you're right about that. I just don't think.
And Rex has some of that appeal.
See, the appeal.
I'm not sure he
is. The way I compare it is I don't always watch South Carolina football. When I do, I want to see Steve Spurrier throw a visor. I want to see Rex Ryan upset on the sideline.
Okay, that's
right?
Fine.
He's good
that's
TV.
Absolutely. That's part of the extra part. But you're not watching South Carolina to watch Steve Spurrier. You don't make a conscious effort, JP. And if you
part
do, and if you do, lie. Because you don't say. You know,
I watch South Carolina because I watch South Carolina.
Only because of Steve Spurrier.
Because he's their coach. And I love watching his antics on the sideline.
Love it.
And he makes that team a better team. And I think, and he's a draw for me.
Maybe I'm the different one. I can't remember the last time I watched any sporting event because of a coach.
Him versus Les Miles, you've got to watch that. You've got to watch.
Honestly,
but that's I think
history,
the point you were trying to make, Jeff.
In the history of my viewing of sports, I don't know if there's ever an event I said, I'm going to watch this because so-and-so is the head coach.
Yeah, but if you tracked South Carolina football's ratings.
Because they win.
Pre-Spurrier? Well, I mean,
well,
they win. But
they win a lot more. They've never won this much in the history of their school. Before Steve Spurrier
they
got
win,
there.
But if you made
that's why they're
if you
watching.
Tried if you tried to make the wins you know relative to the ratings, I guarantee that the ratings far exceed the percentage of wins increase.
I mean, I don't understand.
Steve Spurrier is a draw.
Yeah, I'll give you
there's
that.
No doubt.
He's
it's
a,
not the major. I get
he's
that.
He's a draw for the alumni because they're excited that he's there. But Jeff, I'm shocked that you're telling me. You watch South Carolina football because Steve Spurrier is the coach.
I love the guy.
So if there's two games on, similar quality of teams.
Mm-hmm. I'll watch South Carolina.
You're watching it because of Steve Spurrier.
Yeah, I'll watch South Carolina.
You're nuts.
You just want to watch the Bills so you can lip read Rex Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. That's part of it. It's a very small part of it, Tony. Relax, okay? Other big story out of Phoenix this week. The L.A. talk is hot and heavy. But the L.A. talk, from a national perspective, no longer includes the Jaguars, and that's a huge, huge
deal. That's been a couple
years. Obviously here, but on a national scale, it's really the first time.
No, I disagree. I think in the last 18 months, you have not heard one national story, unless it's some guy working out of his parents' basement on some stupid blog that 10 people read, that anyone has mentioned Jaguars in L.A.
No, last year, you know, 12 months ago, you had that. You still had Jacksonville in the conversation.
I would have to see that. I really don't think. I think you guys are mistaken.
Well, you have short-term memory loss. I get that.
Right. Well, you guys also like watching sports because of coaches. So, I think.
Doggone right.
I think, really.
I love watching the Jaguars because of Gus Bradley.
The only story of this team being anywhere else is London in the last 18 to 24 months. It's not been L.A.
But it's not
The last 18 months, it's been Rams, Chargers, Raiders. Those are the three teams that have been tied. They still are tied. It's almost a race now to who gets to L.A. You know, you read San Diego is making a huge community effort trying to get a stadium built there in spite of the Spanos family, who are the owners. The Raiders are bouncing around everywhere from L.A. to San Antonio and Kroenke. Well, he's not saying he's taking the Rams. He's trying to build a $1.8 billion stadium. So
Privately financed.
Privately financed.
If you're going to build something like that, you're going to bring a team.
Yeah, you would think. So I think, and I read, and it was, I know you guys talked about it. I think it was in the TU as well. I did not get this some big deal. Oh, Jacksonville's not been mentioned. Is the national story going to LA? I don't think they have been. You hear them saying, the national media story about Jacksonville is London. That's what you hear.
Well, I think the thought about that was that 5 years ago.
Yeah, 5 years ago, absolutely.
But because of what Shad Khan, Mark Lamping, the front office has done here, that's an effort to make that go away. And the effort.
That's a big deal.
It's a huge
deal. You know, but it's been a slow process.
Right.
And so,
it takes time.
Yeah.
And this is really the ceremonial, hey, teams are really going to go to L.A. now. It's really not the Jaguars.
Well, it's been a slow process, and I think Shad Khan said it right. He said, you know, actions always speak louder than words.
Right.
And I think he said it perfectly. You know, this football team organization, you know, from the ownership to the leadership has done a great job of making that conversation go away, and you got to give credit to them. You know, they've been extremely proactive, not only as being proponents of this football team in this market and also participating in the London market, but they've also been huge proponents of Jacksonville, you know, across the world. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I think it's almost as much as what they've done in the team, which is significant with the investments, and that always changes the perception, because 5 years ago, JP was right, it was about this team. But even after, you know, I'd say 3 years ago, I don't think anyone within the organization thought that, but the perception was still out there. And it is the actions of what he's done with the leadership, Shad, Mark, as Jeff stated, investment into the stadium. But I also think it's what the actions of what they've done within the city. I mean, I think it's more than just football-centric when it comes to what Shad's done, and the Shipyards is the latest example of that.
I'm excited to hear your thoughts on the most exciting play in football, the point after. We'll get to that.
I've never seen so many dang stories about a play that's been so inconsequential.
I don't get it.
We'll get to that when we come back. It's a very important play in football, right?
As long as they don't change it up and go to three points. I mean, if you move the spot, I'm okay with that. But don't change it
all. They're not going to make it a 3-point. They already removed the Colts' stupid idea.
Yeah, just leave it alone.
Get more in 2015. Become a Jag season ticket member and get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Receive a stadium experience voted number one by the fans in the league. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit jaguars.com/tickets. Or call and speak to an account manager at 633-2000. Your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. That's after the break. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Prime Sport is the leading global sports travel and event management company, offering corporate and fan travel packages and hospitality events for corporations, professional sports teams, and fans. For more information, go to primesport.com. The Jaguars offseason is brought to you by Prime Sport. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. Well, just to clarify,
what do we
got calls, people freaking out
about
last segment. Only the London game is digital. Everything else is regular TV like
what
normal.
Part of that did they not understand?
I don't know. I guess somebody misheard it and said it was like every game is digital now. So relax. Take a deep breath. It's one game. They'll test it out. Your DirecTV is still good.
And the cool thing is it's an early kickoff.
9:30 a.m.
You know, that's great.
Breakfast and football.
For two reasons. One, get up and rock and roll. NFL fans can watch that game from whatever platform that it's going to be on. And then have a triple header that day. And
plus,
then
we'll
also
get home early.
For us, we're going to be on the plane coming home.
That's right.
We're on at 6:30.
Yeah. We're on at 6:30 a.m.
Here, not there.
A cup of coffee and listen to JP.
Here we go.
All right.
Awesome. Well, it will be 12:30 there.
Yeah.
Or 11:30.
Five hours.
6:30 plus 5 is 11.
Well, the game's at 1:30 there. So we'd be on the air at what? 11, 12, 10:30.
Whatever.
10:30.
We're on
London.
Well before.
Oh, it's only 4 hours because of the savings.
I was told there'd be no math, but that's okay. Let's get to the extra points from Phoenix this week. Some of the rules changes, possibly. They're going to review this again at the May owners' meetings. But there's a chance, and it sounds like there's a good chance there could be some changes in point after.
They're talking about a couple possibilities, moving the extra point back if you're going to kick it, or just moving the spot from the 2 to the 1 increase the likelihood of teams going for 2. You know, just leave it at the 2 or put it at the 1. It doesn't matter. One or the other,
is
and then
one
just
yard,
let it go.
Is 1 yard that much of a difference?
Oh,
2
yeah.
yards to 1 yard.
Yeah, because now you're –
teams have to go for it more?
I'd be interested to see what the percentage change of teams going for it if it were to be at the 1.
Well, your percentages are higher if you're on the 1 than the 2 running the ball in.
Right, but are people going to run the ball? Well, are they going to throw the ball?
No, now you have a chance to run throw there more than you did when it was
depends
at the 2.
What team it is.
Depends on who's coaching.
Depends on what team it is and who's coaching. If it's Peyton Manning, they're going to run it. They always do when they're in a tight goal line. They never let him throw the football down there. I don't understand it. But just put it at the 1 and let's move on. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just.
Well, what they're saying is they would put it at the 1 if you wanted to go for 2 and on the 15 if you wanted
No, they're talking about multiple options in that if you're going to kick it, that's two options. One is to put it on the 1 and just leave it there. And then so you can either have your choice of kicking it or going for it from the 1. And then the other option is move it to the 1 if you're going to go for it, and then move it back to like the 15 if you're going to just try the extra point. So make it essentially a longer extra point. You know, so I mean, there's a couple options. I don't even think they've determined that it's one of those two. I think they're still kind of trying to figure it out. But I mean, either way, either leave it at the 2 and roll with it, or leave it at the 1 and roll with it. Don't do this. Okay, we're going to kick it, so let's move it back to the 15. Because you know what? Even though the extra point has become a boring play, is there not a more exciting play than when a team misses an extra point when it's just considered so routine?
No.
Whether it gets blocked?
There's a lot more exciting things.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I disagree.
No, because it's so rare.
Yeah, but it's not exciting.
But it's rare.
Why does it have to be exciting?
But it's a big deal that it's something routine.
I like the proposal where they say they're going to let the if you go for 2 and the defense intercepts it, they can go score. And get
well, it's college football.
College rule. I love that.
Which is fine. I mean,
that should be the case.
If they're going to do the extra point,
which would be worth 2 points.
Yeah, 2 points. If you're going to kick it, it should be a 40-yard field goal because they can miss 40-yard field goals. Because if you move it to the 15, it's a 33-yard field goal. It's a big deal. 40-yard field goal.
Why penalize kickers all of a sudden for them?
It's not
being
penalized.
If it's moved
to
the 15, it's not a 40-yard field goal.
No, if it moves to the 15, it's a 33-yard field goal.
32, 33.
If it moves. So move it to wherever. So move it to the 22-yard line. So it's a 40-yard field goal.
So what's wrong with the extra point? Why change it?
I don't get it either. Just leave it alone.
What's wrong with it?
Nothing.
So what? They made 99.3% of kicks.
Because
they missed 7 all year.
Always evolving and changing, trying to make the game better. You're going backwards. So they're trying to look at every aspect to try to make the game better.
I think it's pretty good the way it is.
Yeah, but if you get satisfied, the problem in life is people get satisfied where they are. And then they relax, and
I'm extremely satisfied, but I'm not relaxed.
My point is, the old saying is, you're either getting better, or you're getting worse. You're either getting better, or you're getting worse. You're never staying the same. So if you're satisfied, you're neutral, and you're not doing anything to progress individually as a team or as a sport. I'm fine with him looking at
it. I want to know what I want to know is Joe Fortunato's opinion on the extra point.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Where do you weigh in on the extra point?
Tony does not care, apparently.
Where are you at? Don't be on the fence.
You're not going to like this.
Okay.
You guys have seen those practice goalposts with the two extra posts in there?
Yeah, the narrow.
You want the arena football
for the extra point? You got to put it in the small section.
Okay, so add extra posts, uprights.
Yeah,
and it has to be in the narrow one.
Why don't they put a windmill in front of the goalposts?
Yeah, like putt putt.
See?
Like putt
clown's mouth.
Yeah,
clown's mouth. Windmill.
Now you're mocking, JP.
I like that idea.
Now you're mocking.
You know, let's dig a hole at the 20-yard line. You have to jump
even
over.
Even better, one lucky fan every game gets to swing from a rope to try to block the field goal, like Tarzan.
You guys are
what is
mocking.
This, the XFL now? Let's just have a sprint to the ball for the coin toss. How about that?
Yeah, great just idea. Leave it alone.
Let's go. Okay, so no instant replay changes approved. There were so many, like 13
now I'm just thinking,
different
JP,
things.
I really like that windmill idea. I actually
why
like
not?
That.
It's pretty good. You know?
And it can double as a fan. You know, it's a hot stadium here. You know, the fans here would appreciate it.
That's
you know,
right.
Generate a little bit of wind.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
Because it's hot, and those preseason games are sweltering, you know. So you got
to. You can get a sponsor on every blade.
Absolutely. Hey. Another opportunity to make
income.
Money.
We're all about income here. No instant replay changes. There were a number of proposals for instant replay changes, adding cameras in every stadium.
Which they should have done.
Yeah, that's the
well, they made a
done.
Mistake about the camera thing because John Mara, I believe it was, came out and cited that the reasoning for not following through with the cameras was the cost. And when you're a billion-dollar business, you don't come out and say that it's too expensive to install cameras, which cost virtually nothing.
So, yeah, how much would cameras cost if you had one at every corner of the field?
Not much.
Give me a guess.
Per stadium? Every stadium would have to be outfitted with
it. So, 50,000?
So, basically, what they were talking about doing was putting them in the pylons.
Yeah, so 50,000, okay. Let's say?
Oh, no way it would cost that much.
Okay. Well, you got to have somebody
Joe, you're
manage
an
it, right?
Audio-video guy. How much?
You could buy a GoPro for $200.
Well, a GoPro's not going to quite have the.
Well, you got to wire. Say you use that camera, then you got to have every stadium wired. For $50,000, you could probably do every stadium.
No.
You still got to have storage somewhere.
Just because they got to pay somebody to do all that.
$50,000 for every stadium, so you're going to spend a little over $1,000 per stadium to put four cameras in and wire the whole place. You turn your mic off and never turn it back on. That's idiotic.
All right, that's enough out of
it's
joke.
It's not that expensive,
no,
though.
But
that was a big mistake by him to cite money as a thing.
Yeah, that's right.
He should have just said, look, we're looking into it to see, what the technology would be, et cetera, instead of going to the money card. Because, Belichick was the one who proposed this, and I like the idea. And it just gives the referees a greater opportunity about getting it right. And I think that's right. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, you want to make sure that the call and the officiating can be as accurate as it possibly can be. And having cameras, four of them in each corner, which is 16 cameras, is not a crazy proposition.
Why
it should have passed.
Four? I got what you're saying.
Four corners, two in each corner.
I was just going to put them at the goal. I was going to put them in the back. I was just going to put them at the goal line and sidelines and not the back of the end zone. So let's say 16 cameras.
Mm.
You're looking at – I think the whole thing costs you $100,000 per stadium to do that. So you're looking at $3.2 million.
But it's got
to
be the same angle
on a
every 12 stadium,
billion.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. Right. You do at a $12 billion or $10 billion industry, $3.2 million divided by 32 teams isn't going to break the bank, is it?
It's not going to even cost that much, though. I mean, it's,
Where's Perkins? We need Mike Perkins ahead of – I'm texting Perk right now. I'm asking Perk because I don't think any of you – I know
that's
Joe has
much.
No clue.
Right.
But
I mean, the technology with video stuff has just gotten ridiculously cheap compared to what it was years ago.
You know what? You could have it in, like, 3D. You could have it like, depth perception.
High-def cameras in each
pylon. That could be done. You could go on and subscribe to that and watch all the replay.
I'm just glad that at least they walked away from it and said, look, we're going to investigate it more.
Yeah.
Because
don't make a rash decision. It makes sense.
Look, I'm not saying that they should have it or shouldn't have it, but see, the issue is that the high profile games, when the networks roll in, that's what they're relying on is network cameras. The officials have more cameras to utilize in making the calls right. When the games are at smaller markets with games that quote unquote have less meaning okay, and the network doesn't bring as many cameras, and you get the D-minus squad in the broadcast booth, they've got half the cameras that Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football have. So the officials don't have the number of views. So at least this would kind of level the playing field across the markets, and no matter the quality of the team, et cetera, to make sure that they can get it as accurate as possible.
Lean less on the television crew. That makes sense.
Well, because, I mean, it's always been provided by the broadcast
network.
Well, it
still would be. It's just those are extra cameras.
Well, I don't think that this would be provided by the network. The feed would go into all of that.
You'd still use the TV cameras, but you'd have at least those
and
four.
And I guarantee you, the TV would want to have access to those cameras as well to show
different
angles.
I think it'd be cool. I think it'd be great, provide some great extra angles, you know?
I'm doing research right now. I'm going to tell you exactly how much it costs.
We'll come back in a moment. Plenty to talk about.
Does texting somebody actually qualify as research?
No.
Okay. Let me ask you a question.
Why don't you just cite Wikipedia next?
If you're reaching out to an expert in the area of cameras in the NFL, would that not be considered research?
I think it would be calling or be called texting somebody who really knows.
Yeah.
Could do the research.
I asked you a question.
And then claiming it as your own.
If
okay.
you
in
reached
fact,
out
plagiarism.
To an expert in the area of cameras in NFL and filming, and you were doing the work to find out the information, is that not considered research?
We'll find out on the other side
Thank
of
you.
This timeout. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Phone lines open. We'll get to some calls coming up. 355-NFL-1. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick with Tony Baselli.
Yes, I'm here.
You are here. Jeff Loggeman's here. Joe Fortunato is here as well. Let's go to the phone lines. Your favorite, Tony, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351.
Before you go to the caller, I saw...
We can wait.
I saw John on Saturday night. Have you ever met John from Keystone Heights?
I don't know if I did or not. I think I have, yeah.
I met John at the speaking
gig. Yeah, you had the Saturday night gig. How was it? Did anybody want to pay $75 to see you?
It was packed. John was rocking the bow tie with a nice hat on top.
Sweet. Well, let's hear from John in Keystone Heights. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing?
Good,
how
man.
How you doing, Tony?
What's up, John?
Is this a true story, John?
It was really good meeting you. It really was.
Thank you, sir. It was a pleasure meeting
you.
What
do you think of the PRC concept?
That's a pretty cool place, I'll tell you that much. The people are amazing.
I don't even know what it was.
So PRC is this retirement community that was started by J.C. Penney initially for missionaries, Christian missionaries that went around the world that had no money to retire. He built a retirement home. You know, church and all this, and it's like 300 acres of beautiful land, and now it's still a Christian retirement community with a bunch of people, but you'd go to retire there. And Jeff, this is where I can see you retiring, because no, in all seriousness, because no, you don't ever really retire, so there's no wait staff. The people who live
well,
there.
Why do I want to go somewhere where you don't really retire?
No, my point is because they're active. They do things. They build things.
Oh, I got you.
And actually, the life expectancy there is longer than other places because people stay active. So you volunteer. That place does like 1,500 hours or 2,600 hours in Clay County a year of volunteer hours. They do all this
That's
cool
awesome.
Stuff. It was a really cool place. So I enjoyed the evening, met John, and I won't bore anyone else, but I thought it was cool.
Well, the thing is, Tony, is also, you know, it's a continuous care retirement community. So, I mean, they take care of you all the way through until you die. And
that's uplifting.
There's hogs, there's turkeys,
yeah,
deer.
You can go hunt.
You can just go out in the back here.
Sign me up, John.
I was going to say.
Okay.
That'd be a good place.
Hey, can I join that hunt club now?
You're not old enough.
That's right. We could have the PRC hunting club. Could I put in a little plug so that anybody interested could go to visit PRC.org.
Oh, now we're playing. John, you went over the top. Yeah. You got a Jaguar question? No. Come on, John.
Sponsorship department.
Yeah, we're going to get fired for that. I mean, people pay money for that. Okay. You can't do that.
What's on your mind, John?
Really enjoyed it, Tony.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
That's all you had?
Yeah. He didn't have anything Jaguars related. Right. He just wanted to talk Tony out here. That's good.
All right, fine. Let's go to Chris on the west side. Chris, what's up? You've been holding for
a while. A lot of Jaguar fans out there, too, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hey, guys.
Big Jaguar.
Hey, so I've called a couple of weeks ago expressing my displeasure about going from 4 hours of Jaguars radio to one during the off season. But at your I did something about it. I had a conversation with Dan Edwards. By the way, a stand-up guy, taking time to talk to a fan, but I complained to him for, a couple minutes.
And what'd he say?
Well, his rationale was, hey, there just isn't enough content in the off-season, but my point is, there isn't 75% less content in the off-season. I'm sure we can get an extra hour.
Well, Chris, I agree with you. More of me would be good.
Let me just add this because
Take it from Tony.
We would all be remiss if we did not mention this. The Jaguars Today Show airs daily from 10 to 12 with Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony every day, and so I consider that Jaguars programming. I'm a big fan of their show, and I listen all the time.
I'm not Fat Tony. That's someone else.
Well, you are, but
you're extremely fat, yes. Tony.
I've lost weight, by the way. I don't appreciate that.
Right, so I guess in theory, it's only, if you count that, it's just one less hour.
No, well, it's not really one less hour because that show's during the season too, JP.
Right, well, there you go. Yeah,
so it's really still three less hours.
I told you, I didn't know there would be math.
Chris, you just got to tune in every day from 10 to 12, I do.
Man, plus you can get
all right, you got it.
But hey,
the web-based stuff too.
We thank you very much for the support. And for calling our boss and telling him how much more you want to hear Jeff and Tony.
Yes.
What the heck, man? What is that? Leave me out?
I don't think anyone missed you one bit when you're gone.
Jeez.
JP, we all basketball, for God's sake.
JP, we all have roles here.
One time in 5 years it comes.
Your role is to poorly read the cards.
And I do that well.
And you do that well. Yeah. And it's Jeff and I to carry the show.
Thank you guys for
doing that. You're welcome.
We appreciate that. Hey, thanks for the call and for the support of Jeff and Tony. Chris.
And make sure you tell Dan that we should all have raises.
Yeah, can you call him back?
Yeah, everybody. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Chris on the west side. Appreciate it. Let's go one more call.
Billy.
Where's Billy?
Arlington.
Billy, what's up?
How are you guys doing this evening?
Fantastic.
Doing well, we're about to get raises.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
We need your support, too, Billy.
I work for Superior Sight and Sound, and I can give you some price points on some cameras that would work well.
There you go, Billy.
All right, we need 16 cameras in 32 stadiums. So what's 32 times 16?
Okay, well, I'll tell you a package we do. We do an 8-camera package of IP cameras, the 2-megapixel camera with a 500-gig hard drive.
Okay, hard drive doesn't matter because we need to have the ability to feed this live.
Right, and 2 megabits. Right. I got that more than that on my iPhone.
Well, again, but you'd want to be able to rewind it, so you do need a DVR or an NVR.
Oh, can you get that for $1,000 under $1,000?
No. $2,600 for a residential house. So you figure an NFL stadium's a couple more days. Probably $4,000 or $5,000 per stadium.
Okay, now
I got better research. I got the expert from Mike Perkins.
The cameras that you're talking about that are in homes. Okay, do you ever see pylons go flying across the field?
Yeah. So here, let me.
So the cameras have to be able.
Can
to
I give some real numbers here?
Be like an OtterBox.
So Mike Perkins, who's the head of video, and all other things around here.
Right.
Gave a best guess based on knowledge. He hasn't priced it out. He says $200,000 per stadium.
Whoa.
With all the cameras, cabling, and everything else.
Hey, Billy, can you work on that margin?
We could probably fit that in. So if we came in at $190,000, you think we could get the contract?
Yeah,
possible.
Maybe. Yeah. Possibly.
So, but Mike is the expert, and
put me on that list.
That's my phone number. Tell him we'll be right down to do that.
And he makes a great point. The reality is, and where Mr. Mara's argument really doesn't hold water, who's one of the great all-time owners, great franchises, is you know how fast the NFL would have the pylon sponsored with the cameras?
In a minute.
So they'd actually make money doing it.
Well, I'm sure the camera manufacturer would pay – so they could use their cameras just for the advertising.
Can you imagine a little GoPro logo on each pylon? You know
what
I mean? Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it would be cost neutral or positive.
They would make money.
I mean, you know, just on the cost of the cameras itself. You know,
you guys have a great evening. It's great listening to you guys.
Thanks for the call. Hope you get that contract. It'll be fantastic.
I'm going to go work. I'm going to go work with Billy on that margin.
We'll come back in just a moment and look around the National Football League. Join John Osier and me for Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1. Special guests will keep you informed of the latest Jags news. Take your social media questions. Jaguars.com Live Wednesdays at 1 on Jaguars.com. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
The final segment of another rousing edition of Jaguars Thursday. Only if they could see what happened in the break.
Tony Vasselli. Building airplanes.
Oh,
Jeff Lagerman.
You should have seen last week.
We built them last week.
I dealt with this all last week for them competing. And then they were waiting it. Was this better?
Paper airplanes?
Yes.
What grade are we in next year? Doesn't matter. I mean, you're never too old
and
to build an
airplane.
Joe's
trying to convince me he needs to take it home.
Me and Joe,
put it on the mantle.
Me and Joe have designed and constructed perhaps the best flying craft since the Boeing 731 or whatever it's called. Yeah,
first of all, it doesn't fly any better than any other paper airplane.
Yes, it does. That thing flies true as any paper airplane can
fly. Spiraling downwards. First of all, Joe doesn't have to throw it. His just nosedived.
Well, he didn't throw it right. We just got to tweak a little bit.
All right, let's try to finish strong.
You see
here,
how
guys.
That thing glided right there?
Yeah,
that was money.
Fantastic. Dave Caldwell at the owners' meetings this week said that the Jags may not be done in free agency. There's
that doesn't mean anything.
The draft,
may not
think?
Be done. That means they could be, or they might not be.
Well, I'll ask you this then: what's the greatest need for this team right now, and can it be fixed before the draft?
No, I don't think.
What's the biggest position right now?
You need depth at. I think you need depth at running back. I would still like to see another interior offensive lineman maybe added. I think the safety position, you're still looking for depth at free safety because you have really one true free safety on the roster.
I don't know, even know if you would have say you'd have one true a guy that has. No, but, range and ball.
But Sergio Brown has range. That's what he's going.
You know what? And he was a guy that I watched this week, Tony. He really was just a box player for the Indianapolis Colts. So he's kind of – but it doesn't mean that he can't play back there. But, I mean, look, when you think of a free, you're thinking of
– rangy and long.
Range, long guy that makes picks.
So I'll say this. Three positions, running back, interior offensive lineman, safety. And I still think you could use some more – depth at linebacker. You lost JT Thomas. You signed Skuda, but you know, Paul Posluszny played half the year, injury.
Yeah, but you got to have more.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I think you got to get depth.
I think you're going to get you may get one or third overall pick in the draft. That's linebacker Leo.
Right, yeah.
You know, but
so those are that's how I would kind of list it.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, running back, it'd be great to have another guy in, but, I mean, who's out there that really would come in and truly compete? I don't know if there's anybody out there.
Oh, I don't think there is. But I don't think there's anyone at safety who's going to come in here.
No.
True free safety. I mean.
Probably not, but you can find.
It's skim pickings right now.
But, you know, you hope that.
Skim pickings?
Slim.
Slim pickings.
You hope, though.
Skim. You know, skim milk. It's like real
thin. I'm not going to get up on him. What was the term that I used a couple weeks ago?
It was slim. I mean.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. The paper airplane really threw me off. I got lost.
Let's go. I would love to see them try to get a veteran wide receiver like a Greg Jennings, you know, who's out there.
Greg Jennings might not even make the team.
Yeah, how old is he? I don't know how old he is, but
he's old.
30.
Here's the desire that I have. It's such a young room. You know, that you got one of the best coaches in the National Football League in Jerry Sullivan. I mean, everybody knows that. But you can get so much more from a veteran presence in a meeting room and on the practice fields and in the OTAs, et cetera, that would help a young group.
Jennings will be 32 September 21st.
Give me a guy that's still got some gas left in the tank, that does things the right way, that's a true pro, that can teach some of these young guys how to do it. And I'm not saying that they can't figure it out on their own, but it's easier to have a young player figure it out with a little veteran presence.
Now, who signed Michael Crabtree? Is he signed?
Nobody. He's out there. But the problem is Michael Crabtree is not the type of guy that you want to have leading a room. You know, that's one of the knocks on Michael Crabtree.
I'm just going to throw this out. Reggie Wayne's still out there, too.
But he hasn't decided whether he's going to play or not.
Right.
You know,
do you think because of the connection with Caldwell?
Tore his tricep, you know, whatever it was, kind of towards the end of the year last year.
Does he have gas after that? Anything left? Tony says no.
I'll tell you this about Reggie.
Great player. Probably a Hall of Famer. Amazing player.
Reggie can still play.
Really?
But he's a drift, find the holes in a zone defense. He's still got great awareness. Absolutely.
Oh, he's brilliant. I don't see it.
He's not playing the game with great speed and quickness anymore, but his head is so far advanced. I mean, he's
like
a PhD. Which
is what you want in a room of young receivers, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's
I'm just throwing it out there.
I'd be shocked if this team signed Reggie Wayne.
All right.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Reggie Wayne.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I tried to get you did the point.
It's okay.
Reggie Wayne, who are you taking off the field – if Justin Blackman's back, who are you taking off the field to play Reggie Wayne?
Well, you got to assume he's not. You can turn that phone off, by the way.
Oh,
there's a silent mode
rookie
on a new,
radio
what
guy.
What is wrong
what
with
you? What are you doing there playing music on his phone?
I hit Pandora by accident.
Jeez.
What channel
is that? It's a
mistake.
I don't know. Today's country.
Let's go around the National Football League.
A
360-degree look around the NFL
that
presented
was poor
by
form.
360 Access. Don't mess around when it comes to game time. The 360 Access team of experts is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure you have the best experience for the biggest games of the year. Visit 360access.com to learn
more. You know, the amazing thing is I had no idea where the sound was coming from. I'm like, where did that music come from?
That's why I always one earpiece on, one off.
Let's look
Squire Yoda.
At some news from today regarding a big-time prospect in the upcoming draft. Randy Gregory admitted that he had a positive marijuana test at the combine. Does this drop his stock?
So, I actually...
His stock is already not as high as what it was perceived as.
I think he's a middle-of-the-first-round guy. Early teens, middle. I mean, some had him as high as 5. I'll say this, the way he handled it, I like. Good PR firm, whoever told him to do it. He was proactive. Typically, you have guys wait till it gets leaked and they don't say anything. Randy Gregory came out and admitted it and said, listen, I smoked weed in Nebraska. This is when I started after I graduated high school. This is why I started it. It's something that I'm consciously working on. I was honest with the teams when I met with them. The last time I smoked was in December. I thought it'd be out of my system. Obviously, and I'm being monitored right now. I'm going through a program. I have a plan to make sure this is not an issue. Listen. It's the very thing that we applauded Ace Sanders for doing, of taking ownership and saying, I'm going to get it fixed, which I still stand by. I like what Randy Gregory went. Now, it has to be genuine. Is this just his agent saying this is the move we're going to make? But if he's genuine in his approach and honesty that he had an issue, he's working on it, it's not going to be an issue. It has not been an issue since December, and he has a plan, and he's meeting with people to talk about it, I think – you know, I commend the young man for taking that route.
You know, he was kind of, many were talking about him as a top 5 pick.
Somewhere. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, Jaguars.com went to his pro day.
Yeah, we were there.
Right?
The highest I've seen him picked is 5th to the Redskins.
And this week I started the college film, and I started with the edge rushers. You know, Dante Fowler, Shane Ray from Missouri, Vic Beasley, Clemson, Randy Gregory, Nebraska.
Love the use of Shane Ray. Mm.
And Bud Dupree from Kentucky. And I remember when Mike Mayock's rankings came out, he had Gregory at number 1 or 2.
Yeah, he was
right there with Dante Fowler.
Absolutely.
In his latest rankings, he actually has dropped him down to number 4.
Dante Fowler is a better physical specimen, powerful human being than Randy Gregory.
He's got 30 pounds on
him. But Mike Mayock is dead on. I watched film of those 5 guys, and – the way I would rank him is Dante Fowler and Shane Ray is 1A and 1B. You pick whichever one is A and B.
You think Sean Ray's big enough to put his hand in the ground, though, Jeff?
Shane Ray?
Shane.
He reminds me a lot of Freeney, and he plays big.
He's not as big as Freeney. I keep arguing this. Well, look at his lower body. It's not the same.
Is this an early man crush? Watch the film on.
I'm going to watch. You always get ahead, jump the gun on me a little bit. I'll start the next couple of weeks before the draft, I'll start watching a lot of tape.
Watch him. But when you watch Randy Gregory on film, you know, and a lot of people are going to say, well, he's falling because of this incident that you're talking about. I would beg to differ that when you watch him on film, he reminds me a lot of Deion Jordan, and he does not play the game big. Whereas you compare the guy at Clemson, which is Vic Beasley, he plays the game bigger.
But the guy who plays it the most powerful physically is Dante Fowler.
Oh, he's a masher now.
Yeah, he's the most physical
presence. He made a tackle, and I don't remember which game it was.
If you're going to take an edge rusher, that's what I'm taking.
You remember the old Burt Reynolds where he's
clothesline
in prison?
Longest yard.
The guy, clotheslined him. He says, I think I broke his freaking neck. Dante Fowler hit this guy like that one time.
That's why I want him
And
here.
The opponent's sideline erupts like it's a penalty. And I'm sitting there, there was nothing wrong with the play because he actually hit him right across the chest, but it just looked like he clotheslined him. I mean, he is a physical player.
So if you had to pick one of those five, who would you take it?
It would be tough between Shane Ray and Dante Fowler.
No, you have to pick one. You're the GM. You don't get to sit there. You don't get to sit there on draft day. And says, "Well, I'm not sure. Can someone pick for me?"
No, I know. I'm not done watching the film on. But if
I'm April 30th, today is
April 30th. Right now, I'm taking Shane Ray.
You're crazy.
Whoa.
That's why
man crush.
You'd be fired.
You watch one
of
film.
He does. Listen.
There you go.
He falls in love with guys, and a lot of times he's right. But sometimes, the goggles of love.
I fell in love with J.J. Watt.
Okay. Congratulations.
And you were like, he's just a good player. He's not a great player.
You and everyone else besides me. So congratulations.
Besides me. Chuck Pagano reports today that the Colts and their head coach are not expected to reach an agreement on a contract extension before this season. Now, prediction. Is he the head coach of the Colts in 2016?
If he's not, the Colts need their heads examined. Jim Irsay. Chuck Pagano is a good coach. That's not a talented team.
You could make the argument that Ryan Grigson, the general manager, should be looked at long before Chuck Pagano.
I mean, that's Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, that's not a talented roster.
I don't think – well, they made one great pick. Grigson made one great pick that anybody could have made.
We all would have made it.
Absolutely. Except for me, because I might have fell in love with RG3.
You might have picked Shane Ray.
Another man crush, right?
Yeah, if he's not, I'll be surprised. I think Jim Irsay's got it. Figure that one out.
What does he have to do? Does he have to get back to the playoffs? Does he have to? I mean, is there a certain amount of games?
He's been in the playoffs every year.
Exactly. So why is this a question?
I have no idea.
I don't think it's a question. It's just a matter
of money issue,
when
probably.
It happens.
How much?
Because you know what? If all of a sudden he takes that football team back to the playoffs again, you know, maybe his pay goes from $5 to $6 or $7 million. You know what I mean? I mean, right now I don't know what he's making.
He's probably making 3.5.
Yeah,
four.
three, somewhere in that range.
A lot.
Yeah, he's making a lot of money, which is, you know, head coaches should get paid a lot of money. They work extremely long hours, and it's a stressful job. You know, but I think that if he were to wait, because he's going to win, you know, he's got a heck of a quarterback.
You better hope that the guy doesn't get
hurt.
He's
a heck of a coach.
You better make sure that guy doesn't get hurt.
And, you know, just like, you know, if you were an NFL player, wouldn't you want to get to free agency? Why not?
Yeah.
You know, so – maybe. Who knows what it's about?
I would prefer if I was Chuck to get locked up right now at $5 a year for 5 years. That's just me. I'll pass on free agency for that.
Would you?
If I was a coach, yeah.
That's good for you.
Because typically coaches don't hit the big free agent market and there's a bidding war.
I'm sure that Chuck Pagano probably has a little different perspective on things after going through what he's gone through.
Oh, I promise you this. I know Chuck. I've known the family. I played for his dad. Chuck's not sweating this. I mean, No. This is not a major concern.
He's going to be okay.
He'll be just fine. He has faced much bigger challenges and overcome them, and this is just another – he'll be focused on winning football games in Indianapolis.
Less than a minute left on Jaguars Thursday. I guess coming up, Florida State's Pro Day is next week. It's Tuesday. It's probably the next biggest event on the offseason calendar.
First overall pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell that that's going to happen the way that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are just running a PR machine and saying Jameis's character's checking out. He's fine.
I agree.
You know, it's a done deal.
Convincing everybody that that's who the right guy
They
is.
Want to sell it.
Good to see you.
With a checkered pass.
Yeah.
Nice of you to join us. I'm glad you could be on the show.
We'll talk to you next week. Jeff Loggeman, Tony Buscelli, Joe Fortunato. This is JP Shadrick, and this is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.